Hey everybody, thanks for tuning into this episode. Like I mentioned last week, we're down here in Florida hunting turkeys. And while we were hunting down here, we bumped into Bont Stanley. Bont makes YouTube videos with his brother and his buddy Derek, and their channel is called The Bayside Legion. If you haven't checked out their channel, check it out. They got a bunch of hunting content on there. I also did a podcast with Bont and Derek last spring talking about how they are trying to hunt turkeys in all 49 states that they exist. With that being said, on this episode, we're gonna focus a lot on traveling to turkey hunts. We basically talk about the expenses and strategy of traveling to hunt, how we find time to do it, what we bring with us, so on and so forth. And it was a fun conversation just comparing his situation to ours. If you have any interest to travel and hunt in general, I think this podcast is for you. Also, if you're doing a lot of turkey hunting in general, I think this podcast is also gonna be beneficial to you because Bont is a very experienced turkey hunter. If you guys have any interest in some of the gear that we use, like turkey calls, you can check the link in the description below. If you guys have any interest in some of the gear that we use, like turkey calls, you can check the description of this podcast, and you can see links to some of the gear that we use, and there's also promo codes that you can use if you want to save some money when buying some of those products. All right, let's get this one rolling. Hope you enjoy it. Let me get myself a test here. Test, check. And because when you're hunting the elusive Osceola turkey, some bitches won't gobble. That blew it out.
It did?
Oh, yeah. All right, everybody. We're sitting here in Florida outside at our camp. So if you're hearing things like fire crackling in the background and crickets chirping, just general night noises.
Owls hooting.
It's because we're sitting outside. The wind every single day picks up at about 10 o'clock, maybe a little bit earlier, and then dies off at evening. So this is the calmest part of the day. So this is when we're recording. We've got Bont from the Bayside Legion with us, and Jake and Ted as well. And we're going to talk travel turkey hunting and a little bit of turkey hunting strategy as well. Bont, why don't you just tell everybody?
We're going to talk about that because he has a lot of experience with traveling. Like, he's traveled to a lot of states and turkey hunted, so we're just going to probably talk about kind of similar things that we do and probably learn some things from him.
Yeah. Yeah. How? Talk about, real briefly, like, what your goals are with turkey hunting and why you travel so much.
Well, I travel so much because I'm trying to shoot turkeys in all 49 states that have huntable populations of turkeys. And so obviously that means that you've got to travel a lot in order to do that. You got to go to all 49 states. And sometimes it means you got to go to a state more than once. So that means you got to put down the miles and you got to figure out each individual state's rules and regulations and where to camp, where to stay, how to hunt each individual location, because this country is very vast and very different, and what tactics work in one area just don't work in other areas. So.
Mm-hmm. There it is. Ow.
Beautiful.
But I think that's one of the most interesting things about it to me, traveling to hunt, period, is that some tactics work in some places and then they don't work in other places. And, you know, one calling strategy in one area may work, but then down the road, you know, it may make more sense to not even call at all. Yeah. And I just find that so, it just challenges you every time you go.
Right? How many states you got down?
I have 29 states as of last year. So I still have a ways to go. Still have 20 more states left, and hopefully knocking out 10 more states this year.
And this is your third trip to Florida?
And this is my fifth trip to Florida.
Fifth trip?
Yeah. I started in 2011 coming down here and just fell in love with Florida, and I like to come back here. It's so totally different than anywhere else in the country. Mm-hmm. Even when I first started coming to Florida, I hunted the North Zone, and it was just, even there, it was more different than anywhere else on this country. It was still a jungle, not quite like it is down here in South Florida, but it was different, and I liked it. Mm-hmm. And that kind of really, I already had the bug to travel to hunt turkeys in all 49 states because of Doc Weddle. My dad had met him in 2001 and told me about him, and from then on, I was hooked with that idea. But 2011 is when I kind of started doing that and started trying to travel and hunt. And the first state I went to was Florida because it was a different subspecies. And I thought, well, let me just try a different subspecies. And that was the closest, easiest one to get to living in Delaware. So I did, had some success, and haven't looked back since.
Is that when you made the goal? When was the year, I guess, that you made the goal? I know we've talked about this on podcasts before, but what was the starting point?
For me, it was in 2001 when my dad came back. So my dad is a traveling turkey hunter and has been for a long, long, long time, well before I was born. Mm-hmm. And he always goes to South Carolina, or he always did go to South Carolina, and hunted down there at a turkey camp. And one year, Doc Weddle showed up, and they were just sitting around a campfire talking, and he mentioned that he was chasing turkeys in all 49 states. Well, when my dad came home, he told me that story, and I remember right where I was standing when he told me about that, because I had never had the idea of traveling that much to go turkey hunt. Like, that was something I'd always known and grown up with, was traveling to turkey hunt, because my dad had, but up until that moment, the thought of killing turkeys in all 49 states had never crossed my mind. And then once he told me, I remember right where I was standing in my parents' kitchen, and it just floored me about that notion of traveling that much. And so from then on, I really wanted to do it. I just wasn't financially able until I got older. And this stuff is expensive, even doing it like we're doing it here, where we're just camping. It's not cheap.
Yeah, especially if you hit, how many states did you hit last spring?
Last spring I hunted 20 states.
Yeah, that's expensive. So like our buddy Josh Thrash, he's in a different situation, just like anybody that's doing that is, it seems like. But he's got several kids and family, so he just tries to chip away at just a couple states every year. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's just a matter of what your situation is. But I can imagine how that would get really expensive. I don't know if we even hit that many states.
No, I mean, no, we don't. So. I think total we might get close, but,
yeah, between
you know,
the whole group, yeah.
But even then, it's, yeah, I would say, I mean, I think I shot turkeys last year in, like, 6 different states. And 2 of those were, I think, the same that I hunted in before.
You said you shot 24 turkeys last year?
I did.
What states?
All right. We started out in Hawaii, and then I came to Florida, and then Alabama, Mississippi, and then I went back to Alabama. Then I hunted Virginia at some point in there and did not kill a bird in Virginia. Then I hunted Kansas, killed birds in Kansas. Then I went to Colorado, California, Wyoming, South Dakota, Montana, Utah, came back to Virginia, still didn't go out, and then...
Ooh, Virginia. Oh, Virginia, no, sorry, gave before thrash I came, troubles, too.
After Utah, I forgot about Missouri. There was Missouri in there, and then came back to Virginia, and then I hunted home in New Jersey. Well, not really home, but kind of like a home for me. Hunting Jersey, and I went back out on the road, and I went to Idaho, Washington and Oregon, North Dakota, Michigan, Maine.
Dude, wow. That's insane. That's
insane.
I mean, that's overwhelming. I sometimes say to people what we're planning, because as of right now, the plan is Florida, Alabama, Georgia, Virginia, Kentucky, Missouri, and then some western states after that. And then Maine is the end goal. And even that, it's like when you rattle that off, it's like, whoa,
that's a lot.
And I think that, you know, the main thing, I think, for at least THP is just we want to see all these different places. It's about the experience. It's just going to those areas, learning the tactics, learning the culture, learning a new habitat and terrain. I think that's really the draw for us, wouldn't you guys say? Yeah. I mean, ultimately.
I'd say for me, it's especially the culture. I just love, especially coming down south, and just like hitting the different areas, just because the people are just different. I mean, Everywhere you go, like, the culture is just different and people are...
The interest is different. Yeah. The level of interest in shooting turkeys. I mean, there's a lot of times you go places and people would be like, you came all the way here for a turkey? I mean, how many times have you heard that one, you know? And it's just like...
Delaware? Yeah. I heard that one more than once.
I think something we should bring up, too, early in the podcast is that you travel all these states, but you guys have a YouTube channel and you guys are filming a lot of your hunts, too.
We do.
You filmed your hunt that you just had down here where you killed your Osceola, and I think that people should go check that out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Bayside Legion is not just myself. My buddy Derek Anderson and my brother Jacob Stanley are also part of the Bayside Legion. And we have a YouTube channel where we film our turkey hunts, deer hunts, Sika deer hunts, waterfowl hunts. We just pretty much film what it is that we do, which is we try to hunt every single day that we have off and that we're able to hunt.
Mm-hmm. And I think another question a lot of people might have is they hear you all those states that you hunted last spring. Was that COVID related or what do you do for a living?
That was very COVID related. I had a unique opportunity that I will never probably have happen again.
And so you're just having the time of your life.
Full advantage of it. Yeah. So, I work for a big company and they came out with a rule that said that if you were outside of the state, you could not come back to work until you quarantined for 14 days. Well, my vacation time had already been approved and at no point during the spring was I back for a consecutive 14 days. So after going around and around with my boss, he said, I guess I'll see you in June. So I said, perfect. And what made it even better.
That's when you said 10-4.
Yeah, I had just killed my second bird in Alabama and was getting ready to come home when he told me that. And I'm like, oh, this one, I was on high because I just killed a turkey. Two, I just killed my second turkey in Alabama, which I've held Alabama in such high esteem as far as hunting turkeys there ever since I read the 10th Legion and the old pro turkey hunter. It's been a dream to go to Alabama. And so to kill two turkeys there was awesome. And then to get the green light that I was finally able to turkey hunt as much as I wanted to turkey hunt. it was a great day. Probably one of the best days of my life. Not gonna lie.
Yeah, there was a time there in Alabama where we were having some of the best days of our lives for sure last year. It was kind of that same time frame where everything was just like, yeah, you basically can't do anything. We're like, well, here we are in Alabama. And we got a lot of turkey tags, so this should be fun. And that was just a really good time, I would say, in general. And I mean, it wasn't for everybody, obviously. Just, like, for our situation, it was pretty fun.
Yeah,
definitely.
If you were able to take advantage of it, and I know I wasn't the only one. I know there was people who pushed it harder than I did. But if you're able to take advantage of it, it could definitely play in your favor last year.
Yeah, for sure.
So with that being said, how do you approach it then on a regular year, like what maybe this year, just like trying to be as efficient as possible and hit as many states as you can? But
yeah, what's the like game planning? So it's, you know, a year in advance or whatever, half a year in advance. Like what is the game planning as far as picking the time off and then just picking a state? What's that kind of looking like?
Well, I actually plan about 2 years in advance.
Okay.
So right now,
we don't.
Well, I don't even know what I'm doing in 2 days.
I try to plan. And when I say I start to plan, I don't necessarily mean like I'm really starting to plan, but I'm starting to get the ideas of what states I want to hit. So whether that is a state that I've heard was really cool, or a state that might be difficult to draw for, like Nevada is causing me a lot of issues at the moment because you've got to draw for it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those states I start trying to plan ahead of time and trying to figure out how I can work those into my season. And then the certain draw states that you have to draw for, you can make a plan and then that whole plan gets thrown away once you apply for certain permits and you get those certain permits and tags. Mm-hmm. So that changes your whole plan. That's the whole reason I ended up in Florida last year, was because I put in for one of the special opportunity hunts and got drawn for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, I hadn't planned to go to Florida unless I got drawn. And then because I got drawn, it was like, well, I'm going to Florida now, you know? So that kind of can totally change your whole plan. So when I say I'm start planning 2 years in advance, really it just means that I start looking around for the states that I think are interesting and I want to go hunt and then I start trying to do some research on figuring out how to go hunt those states. Mm-hmm. And that requires a lot of time, all year, all summer, all winter. I am looking at Onyx maps, I'm looking at the internet, trying to do as much research as I can. I watch every YouTube video I can find on that particular state, whether it's good, bad, ugly, whatever, just to get a lay of the land, because so many states, you know, being from Delaware and the East Coast, we have trees.
Yep.
The West does not always have trees, so I'm trying to find videos from there to see what that terrain looks like, because it's totally different. Or when we went to Hawaii, I had no idea what Hawaii looked like, so I tried to watch as many videos as I could, even deer hunting videos, pig videos, whatever, just to kind of have an idea as to what I was getting into.
Yeah.
And I was still wrong, but...
Yeah, I mean...
A lot of times what we do, too, is we'll just look at... We know that a name of the area that we're going to. We'll just see if there's any like recreational videos, just to see like you're saying, what the landscape kind of looks like in that specific area that we're going to.
Sometimes those are the best too, because they're just people like showing every detail. They're like, oh, look at this landscape, which is great for the purpose that they're trying to make. But then it's really helpful from a hunting standpoint. I do that a lot with elk hunting too, just like looking at different areas that. You know, that's something that I am planning way ahead of in time. And so it's like anything that I can get to get a good idea of what.
Without having to go there, just because you can't hit every area that, like, sometimes it's on the other side of the country. You can't just drive over there and check it out. So,
So when you're looking at a map now, this is, I think, something I'm always curious to hear people's opinions on. And then I think can be helpful to people that are planning to make a turkey trip, and I have an answer myself. I guess, Bont, starting with you and then moving down the line, like, what's everybody look for first? Like, what are some things when you're looking at on a map, what are some of the first few things that come to mind? Like, bang, 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 what are you looking for? Because I know you're looking for stuff pretty fast, probably. Or like, when you make a quick glance at something, you're like, okay, I'm zoning in on this.
Well... I think that's going to change a little bit depending on what your end goal is. So, like, if your end goal is just to shoot the four subspecies of birds, that's going to be totally different than my particular goal of trying to shoot turkeys in all 49 states, because I have to hit all the states. I don't have to just hit the subspecies. I got to hit each state. So that changes it a little bit, and the mindset that you have changes, because I have to look at states, and I try to group states together into swings. So that way I can hit a bunch of states really quickly. When you're doing this, you generally try to, and this is not a figure that I came up with, this is a figure that's been said by a bunch of other people way before my time, but 3 days per state is what you try to give yourself. So when you try to plan these swings out, you try to, you know, when you're requesting off from work, you want to take advantage of all of that, and so you try to group a swing of 3-4 states together that you can hit in a week, week and a half, 2 weeks. And so you try to group them together. And if you can do that throughout the country, well then pretty quickly with just taking 2 trips a year, you can get 6 to 8 states down every year. And if you're trying to choose, you know, trying to chase turkeys in all 49 states, you can get there fairly quickly doing that.
I would say that's more of specific to traveling. Okay, now once you've picked the state, what's like on the map exactly? Like, because I think that's one hang up for a lot of people, and it's ultimately always the tricky part. And it's always going to look a little different, but, like, are there certain things on a map as far as terrain and habitat that are, like, things that you're trying to locate right out of the gate? Like, looking at a map your first time, you're like, okay, I'm trying to decide on certain areas, like, what am I looking for?
Well, I'm going to have to back you up one step.
Sure.
Before I even get to the map, the first thing I'm going to do is see if I can find any publications about harvest data.
Yep.
Some states are great about keeping records and posting the records of what birds they kill in what counties or what zones or whatever. That's my first avenue. From there, then I'll dial it in. And what I look for is not necessarily the highest harvest data or the highest harvest kills in a particular area. I look for one that's good, but not necessarily the highest, because generally the highest means you also have the most hunting pressure.
Yep.
So I look for somewhere that's, you know, close to halfway down or maybe a little bit higher than that. then I look at the map, and then it is going to depend firstly on water. You got to have water for turkeys. And then I try to find tree types that look good. And again, that changes too depending on whether you're out east or out west. It's totally different. Like from what I'm looking at in Arizona right now, I don't know that I've seen a tall tree that I would consider would be a turkey roost tree on X. I don't know that I've seen one yet. So that's different than here where, like, let's say I was hunting Tennessee. I would look more for ridges and valleys that have a creek that maybe runs through them, and then I would look to see where I think might be good roost points, those little finger ridges that a turkey might want to roost on. That's what I would start to look for in those areas. So it changes depending what part of the country you're looking at.
Yeah, I think water is huge. Like, when I just started going in, I feel like last year was really, like, a game changer as far as I quit, like, worrying about the little things. And what I mean by that is, like, I didn't really care what I was seeing or hearing from the road. I was picking a spot that had water that was, like, in, especially in hill country. So most of my hunts last year took place in, like, you know, hilly terrain or, you know, eastern U.S. It's like if there was a big hollow there, like a big valley with a main creek bottom through it, and it was far away from where everybody was going to be walking, I just went straight to it, blind, I mean, mostly blind, and would just get to a high point above that. And it's like almost guaranteed you're going to be in the game to where you're hearing a turkey, unlike what we're dealing with here in Florida, you know, where it's like, hey, worst case scenario, if I walk back there, I'm pretty sure I'm going to hear one, versus if I sit back on the road, there's a chance that everybody else is doing that too. Now, I'm not saying that there's not other ways to do it, because on the flip side, here, Keith and I, like in Alabama is a great example. Keith and I were walking and doing all that, and we killed turkeys, but you and Ted killed, Jake, you guys killed turkeys right off the road. So it's like, it works both ways, but like for me, I'm just looking for a deep water source that I know I can just outwalk most people. Not saying there aren't guys down in there, and some of the places that we hunted, we felt like we were way back in there, we saw people, but water is number one. You know, don't overthink it from that standpoint, because all of a sudden you start straying away from it.
You just need a permanent water source.
You start straying away from it, and you're just like, what the hell am I doing? Like, why did I ever leave? Why did I get off track like that? Because all of a sudden, you know, you may just, like, stray away from it a little bit too much. Ted, you got anything to add? Do you got anything that you're looking for?
Sorry, I wasn't thinking it was coming to me after that.
Oh, buddy, we're tossing it right to you.
After you have those areas that you might suspect one's roosted, something people sometimes overlook is how you're going to hear that and potentially three or four other areas from the same spot, like right. Where you're going to listen for the gobbling from either in the afternoon or the morning. I think I've hunted with people that aren't very, I guess, efficient is the word, about, like, they're just listening to maybe one specific spot. And if you have a reason to believe that, like, a strong reason to believe that there's going to be a turkey in there, that might be a different situation. But, like, if you're just going in blind, I feel like it's good to give yourself a couple of different options if possible.
Yeah, a great example of that is Keith and I call them middle ridges, where you got a hollow on either side. If you can walk to a middle ridge that has, like, a solid stream on either side of it, and you can get up high and you can hear a bunch of different, you know, areas from there, there's almost always going to be a turkey close to that. Whether or not he's gobbling, you know, is a completely different story. But, like, when we're deer hunting too, you can be deer hunting, and if you're on a middle ridge in the fall, that's, like, where there's a turkey, usually a flock of turkeys hanging around there. And, like, we saw it in Georgia, we heard turkeys deer hunting, in Ohio deer hunting, we heard turkeys, and they were in those places because you're just around, I think, where they spend a lot of time. You know, obviously they need, like you said, Vance, they need water.
They got everything they need in a small area. Usually it's where you find turkeys. Most. I don't know about here because we haven't found them. All places, seems like they need two or three certain things, and they like it in a pretty small area.
Ted, did you come up with your answer yet?
Yeah, I mean, just diversity of habitat is the biggest thing. Even around here, just looking at the map, the most diverse stuff. And it is kind of different here, I think, with the domes or whatever. Those aren't very real diverse, I feel like, but...
Yeah, it's not really like a...
I think it's really diverse just because of the different water levels. There's always a different stage of green up, I guess you'd call it. Like you go from just flat out mud to shorter green growth, and then it just gets to super tall grass.
I think that's the tricky part with hunting in Florida so far, in just flat areas in general, is like flat and wet areas in general. It's like you can't really tell a whole lot from an aerial photo of like what the timber is until you put boots on the ground. And then even different than that is you can't really tell what the water levels are until you put boots on the ground. And I think that's some of the main difference I've seen in a hilly standpoint versus a flat standpoint. And then another thing that is just like completely mind-boggling is where are the turkeys on a windy day in flat ground? Because in the hills, you just go to where it's, you know, blocked off, where the wind is not hitting a specific spot, and it's like out here, it's just like, it's all just the same conditions all around. I don't know, that's definitely been a thing, a struggle here, but not to focus too much on Florida, but I want to kind of talk about now, like when you take off, what are the main expenses in your eyes? That way, if somebody's budgeting for this, they can, and then I think we can pitch in too, because, you know, like you said, there's some things that we probably do differently, but probably a lot of things we do the same. As far as budgeting for this, what do you think are the things that stand out for, the main costs?
It depends on whether you're flying or not.
That's true.
And there's two different fields of beliefs on this. I have a friend who I was just talking to yesterday about this, actually. He prefers to fly to a place, stay in a hotel, and, you know, pay for either a trespass fee or whatever to go hunt. And that's a totally different budget and totally different style than I like to hunt. And nothing against him. That's his way of doing it. My way of doing it is I prefer big patches of public land that I can go camp on, and I can get my truck and I can drive to. I like that, and I think you guys are kind of the same way from what I've seen. Just being able to be that mobile hunter and being able to go and do it yourself. So for me, my budget is on fuel and licenses. Those are my two biggest expenses. Food and stuff isn't really that big of an expense, and then once I start killing turkeys, that's all I'll pretty much eat. Yeah. I'll just supplement it occasionally with something else just to change the diet up. But once I get a bird on the ground, that's all I've been eating. So like the bird I killed on Tuesday, it's gone. I have like 3 or 4 pieces left of little nuggets, and that's it. So that's been what I've been eating. So,
what are some of your favorite recipes? Or do you mix it up, or you got just like a go-to?
When I'm doing this stuff, I marinate it in Italian dressing, and then I use either ranch or buffalo dressing sauce and just dip it in that. It's really, really simple. Yeah. Like, and I can eat it cold. I can eat it warm.
Because we do the same thing. We're always just looking for, I mean, you eat turkey for 42 days in a row, you kind of got to mix it up every once in a while.
Yeah, there was a point last year where I was just like taking off bits of cheese to put with the turkey because I was just trying to change it up a little bit because it was getting a little old. But
the game changer for me is taking a crock pot along so you can just slow cook those legs, and that's so awesome. I mean, if you got the means of plugging in, it's pretty sweet. That's a great, great thing that we were doing. Like, we had the crock pot last year, and we would just cook them, and then you just could put it in the fridge. I always call it the damn fridge. It's the cooler. But you just put it in the cooler, and it's fine. You know, you can have it for days and days, and that's ideally on a day that you're like taking an afternoon cook a little bit. I always think that's, you know, cook it all, and then like you said, you can eat it cold, you can eat it whatever. We did last year, one of the best turkey meals that we had. We were in West Virginia, and it had been like 40 degrees, rain and cold. And Colin shot a turkey, but I had shot one a couple days prior, and there was still just a little bit of breast left over, and it was cold, but it was cold outside. So in Colin's van, we just put it on the burner with baked beans and just put that turkey breast in that baked beans. And dude, that was how we reheated it. That meal like stands out as like one of the greatest I've ever had on a hunt, because it was like so cold and miserable, and that was so warm and nice, and it was just like, this is the life now.
But a warm meal can totally change that when you're cold.
Totally, especially cold and wet too, and like 40. It was just and windy. It was not a nice day. But so if you've got tags and fuel, food not really an issue, what is your camping setup look like? How much did, or not necessarily how much, but like, is that something that you feel confident in your setup as far as being pretty mobile, your tent and everything?
Yeah, I like my setup now. If I'm staying in a spot like right now in South Florida, there's no other states that have a season in, so I know I'm not going anywhere else. Mm-hmm. So here I'll set out a tent. Mm-hmm. Most of the time though, I just camp in the back of the truck. So yeah. I have a truck with a cap on it, and I have a cot that fits in there, and I've got a little shelf built there, so that way I can put a couple totes, one for food, one for miscellaneous camp stuff like frying pans, propane, silverware, plasticware, plates, paper towels, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Then I have a spot for my cooler, a spot for my 5-gallon water jug, and everything I need is in there, and it's nice and contained. That way, you know, if I'm in bear country, all the stuff's in the back of my truck, so bears probably aren't going to get to it easy. You know, it's not something that I want to leave out. All of it goes inside. I can sleep back there, and it's all one contained unit. So mm-hmm. wake up in the morning, I can get out, brush my teeth, get into the front seat, and just drive.
Mm-hmm. What do you cook on? What are your tools as far as, like, just cooking a meal and being keeping it mobile without, like, you know, having an elaborate setup?
Right now, I just use a Walmart Ozark Trail 2-burner propane grill, and it works. It's thin, it's flat. With the burners on it, I can either fry up food, or I can boil it, or I can do whatever. So mm-hmm. I know we were talking earlier that you guys like the Mountain House meals.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a Campbell's soup kind of guy. Mm-hmm. Not soup, but the chunky ones with the mm-hmm. Like buffalo chicken and that kind of stuff. So mm-hmm. I can just put one of those on that burner and heat it up and good to go. And it's easy and nice. Doesn't take too long. The cleanup's easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's really one of the things that, like, as I started to do this, you know, before we did THP, I wanted to do all these things, but I didn't do them because, like, didn't have the time, money, whatever. And it's like one of the things that I've always tried to get better at, and I feel pretty confident in what we're doing now, and I think we all kind of do, is like we use jet boils for boiling water quickly. We make coffee in those things. We make the, you know, boil the water for our mountain houses. And then when we have like a little bit more camp time, we have a Coleman 2-burner stove as well, just a couple pans. And then, you know, a lot of times we'll get eggs and just whatever. I mean, we buy a lot of apples and fruit, eggs,
peanut butter.
It's freaky how much peanut butter we're going through already. I mean, we're on jar like 4 or 5 already. And then we buy vegetables. We try to buy some vegetables, too. This is like, you know, one of those things, like, I'm a big believer in, if you fuel yourself somewhat healthy, you're going to feel a hell of a lot better out there. And I feel like we do. I feel like we're feeling pretty sharp for the most part. But that's kind of our...
Carrots, celery, and peanut butter,
and... broccoli, carrots. No, I already said carrots. Apples.
What are I'm sure you're spending like as much time out in the field as you can. So what are some things that stand out as far as like your best setup and just maybe snacks or stuff you bring to the field to help you stay out there longer? Is there anything you can think of?
Cliff Bars and my water bladder.
Water
and that's
water
about bladder. It. I can live for a couple of days on Cliff Bars. I mean, it's not going to be fun, but no. I can do it.
Yeah.
So I generally carry at least 2 Cliff Bars with me. Mm-hmm. If I'm planning on staying out all day, like here in South Florida, it's just too hot for me to stay out all day. I mean, mm-hmm. I could. I just don't want to. So then I only carry 2. But if I was hunting a state where I really was planning on staying out all day, I might carry 3 or 4 of them. And mm-hmm. they're nice. They're easy. They're light. They will keep you going. They've got plenty of protein and mm-hmm. you know, good stuff in them to keep you moving. So
I think the game changer, and we talk about this amongst ourselves, and I say it all the time. I'm sure it's pretty ridiculous how much I say it, but that water bladder, man, changed everything for me. When I was, I don't know, not even that long ago, 2018, I remember coming out of the woods because we didn't have enough water when we watched a big buck with a doe. It was the same buck, Ted, that you and I saw in the canoe that day. I was with Logan. Mm-hmm. And we saw that buck and we had to leave because we didn't have any water. And it's just like, how stupid was that? We luckily ended up shooting a different buck that night, but like we had to leave and that was just stupid because you can't kill him from the restaurant down the road, you know what I mean? And it was just, that was silly. And last, I don't know, about a year ago, probably a little over a year ago now, maybe 2 years ago now, started using the water bladder and it's like, okay, that's the move. Fit 3 liters and maybe throw a water bottle into if it's real hot, and then you can make it the whole day. And I don't know, I feel way better. I would say the ability to like make it through a season without feeling real crappy is way better now just because of drinking water. Do you guys feel that way, Jake, Ted?
Yeah. Another thing you can throw in is a little water filter, mm-hmm. and then you can keep filling up your water if you got somewhat clean water around you.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't do that here.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Water. Get your hand back later. Go around the moving water.
Some clean water.
No, but my dad actually, so I grew up hunting with him, and we hunted in South Carolina a lot in the river bottoms, and my dad is one of those dark kind of guys. I mean, there is no quit. Even now, he just keeps going and going and going. And he always used to carry in his vest 3 to 4 water bottles, enough food to last like 2 days with him. I mean, because he goes, if I'm out there and I get hungry, I'm not coming back to the truck, period, end of story. Once I leave, I don't come back until it's dark. Mm-hmm. So he wanted to make sure he had enough stuff, so he kind of ingrained that in us. And then once I discovered what a water bladder was, which wasn't until last year, and was probably watching your guys' videos, honestly, it was like, that's a really good idea.
Oh,
and
dude, it's...
once I bought one, it was like, oh, this is an even better idea than I thought it was. Like, this really works.
You're not even, you don't even have to consciously do it. You just, like, you get bored and you just drink water. And
yeah.
You feel a lot better.
And you can do it while you're walking. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the big thing is, like, I like to keep moving. And so I can be walking and just take a hit and keep on going. Mm-hmm. Whereas with a water bottle, I got to stop. And then water bottles, they
crunchy.
All
crunchy. Oh.
Yeah, and I can't stand that crinkling
or
noise.
Even worse, not even worse, but just as bad to me is like carrying the, like a hard sided bottle and then you drink half of it and then it sloshes. Mm-hmm. So it goes from one side to the other and it goes
water
clank,
bladder on your back.
Clank.
You sit up against a tree too when you're turkey hunting. It's like a little water bed on your back. <when you're fishing.
laughs> It's,
I noticed that today when we took our naps.
Oh yeah. No, we didn't take any naps, Jacob. We're hardcore, dude. what else is there about the travel turkey hunting that, I guess here's a good question for you. How do you feel confident that, or like, how do you get enough sleep and how many hours are you getting? Cause like, I feel like for us right now, it's pretty good, but by mid-April, it is getting weird. And like, I was telling Ted this today, I start feeling more and more irritable as the season goes on. And I really like took a step back and like looked at that last year, because like I definitely noticed it, because I hunted almost every morning from Alabama on. I didn't hunt every day all day. A lot of days I would stop and, like I was saying earlier today, kind of taking that second half of the day, like noon, 1 on, to just like do the computer work, but was hunting every morning and therefore not getting a lot of sleep, because then I would work until, you know, 9, 10, and you eat. Next thing you know, it's 11. Next thing you know, you're getting up at 3:30. Like, how many hours of sleep do you feel like you're getting doing all this traveling? Because I feel like that's just something that is something to keep in mind, is you're never going to sleep as much as you think you are if you're really dedicated to the hunt. I don't think.
No, you're not. Last year was different for me. I actually slept a lot last year comparatively, because of my camping style, because I have it so mobile, so easy. Mm-hmm. It takes me 10 minutes to make dinner when I come back, and then I'm by myself, so there was nobody to talk to, nothing really to do, and so it was like, okay, so I can go to sleep now. So I slept great and felt amazing. In 2019, it was a totally different story because I was working a lot, and so I think last year I hunted 64 days. In 2019, I hunted 60 days, so almost the same number of days, but I was also working a full-time job, working 40 to 50 hours a week, while also hunting 60 days, and it was absolutely brutal. It was the worst. It was terrible, because I would go hunting in the morning, and then make it to work by 12, work from 12 to 10:15. By the time I get home and eat dinner and say hi to the wife, it was 11:30, and then I was literally back up at 12 to drive to another state to go hunt. And so I was still hunting out of state, and I would try to group like 3 days together in what I would call turn and burns, which is I get off of work, drive to a state that I can reach by the time the sun rises, hunt for 3 days, turn around and drive back, and by the time I come back, it's time for me to throw on my work uniform and get back to work. So that was terrible.
Yeah.
But I'll do that again this year. I'm pretty certain that's how my season's looking like. But
yeah.
So to answer your question, I don't sleep all that much.
It's a weird time, dude. Like, turkey season is straight up the weirdest. Deer season's weird, but turkey season enters a whole new level of weird, because it's just, the morning is so, it isn't limited to, but like, if you're the type of person that just likes to listen to the morning, I like to listen in the morning. I just like it. I just enjoy going out in the dark and then watching the world wake up. I like hunting any time of the day, any condition that I can, but some more than others. But, you know, the morning is ideal to me, so it's like I'd rather go then and then work later. But, man, it gets rough. It's maybe not always in my best interest to do that.
How do you get your wife to sign off on 64 days of turkey hunting, people might ask?
I have no idea.
So it's just you got extremely
lucky that I found a woman who has her own hobbies, who likes to do her own things, and surprisingly it's not hunting, but she's cool with me going. Okay, cool is not the right word. She's tolerant of me going and doing that. And when I found out last year in Alabama, I called her and I was like, hey, look, this is the situation. I really need to take advantage of this. And she was like, go for it. Do what you got to do.
That's pretty cool.
So I don't know, other than just finding the right one. I mean, it's most aren't like that. My wife is. She's even like right now, she's just cool. And she, you know, she asked when I was going to be home. And I'm like, I think I'll probably end up being home about Sunday. And she's like, okay. No problem.
Mm-hmm. Whitney, my girlfriend, she, when I told her, well, you know, everything started like getting real weird last year, and she was just like, yeah, you might as well just stay. And then like by Minnesota, I told her that I was going to be back, like, you know, I'll be back by the 28th. And then it was like the 28th and you showed up, Jake. There was like 3 days of season left and I was planning on leaving. She's like, oh, Jake's there, you might as well just stay and keep hunting. It's like, all right, I mean, that's pretty lucky. It's just like not always the case, but, you know, it's pretty great to have the support, I would say.
Well, I don't know, but
how do you make it work, Ted?
Well, I don't have anybody calling my phone, so I'm good to go.
Yeah, so that works.
You know, I tell my parents, see you in June. And I leave.
Shoot. Well, is there anything else that we should cover as far as topics on travel turkey hunting?
My only last words are to do it.
Yeah.
It's when you start hunting your own little box in your own little world, you don't really see what else is out there. No. And this is a whole other topic that you guys can talk about later. We can talk about later, whatever. But as far as
now, let's talk about it now. Well, I think it's a good
the pie that we were talking about earlier, as far as turkey, and not just turkey, but wildlife management as a whole and the different aspects of it. If you hunt your same area all the time, you're not going to see what other states are doing that is good or bad. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody needs to experience that and then bring that back home to their councils, to their meetings, and go, look, this is how they do it here. I was just here in this state. This really worked for them. Mm-hmm. Or go, hey, look, this is what we're doing here. This is working well for us, but this isn't working well. Yeah. And so we can adapt and modify and pay attention to what other people are doing, because that's the only way to really improve wildlife management as a whole.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that hunting outside of your comfort zone, and everybody's got different goals by all means, but I figure if you're listening to this podcast, you're trying to up your hunting experience, like your skill level, whatever you want to call it, in some fashion, right? Like you're dedicated enough that you're listening to this to hopefully gain something and be able to take it into your hunting situation. But like if your hunting situation is only your one spot in your home state, in your home county, you know, I can look back and think when my situation was more aligned to that. It was never completely like that, but you know, when I hunted, there was a shooting star. That's cool, man.
Do you guys see that?
Did you listeners see that? But I look back on that, and while I learned a lot of valuable lessons, and a lot of that was, you know, the kind of the building blocks of turkey hunting and hunting in general, when I really started getting out of my comfort zone is when I started learning a lot more, and I started looking at more of those fine details that help take you to a whole new confidence level with your hunting. And I think you can get that from doing even just a little bit of traveling. I don't think any of us are sitting here telling you that you should go shoot turkeys in 49 states. If that's what your goal is, yeah. Great. But like, it's definitely not like realistic for every single hunter. But I do believe that it is realistic for those that want to do it, that want to get that out of their hunting experience. It's realistic. It's definitely not impossible to get a state in every year, at least a state. And you do a state for deer, you do a state for turkey, a state for, well, something else. You
That's
know, maybe.
The cool thing, I think, about turkey hunting is that, I mean, even if you are just a hardcore deer hunter, it's being from the north, it's just like a cool excuse to go down south and get into warmer weather and hunt a different state, and it's quite a bit more inexpensive than going on an out-of-state deer trip in most cases, pretty much every case, I would think. And you just, even if you're just turkey hunting in a different state, I just think of all the things that, I mean, all of us grew up hunting a specific area, and then with all this travel that we've done, I'm sure we can take stuff from all those areas. Like when I go home now, I just think about things totally different than I used to.
Absolutely.
It's pretty interesting, just all the things that you can pick up just from hunting an area that's completely different than what you're used to.
Yeah, it's so fun, man. I mean, it really does just open your eyes, and then it makes you so confident, and it just makes you feel like every decision you're just much more confident in, and that's fun to me. It really is, instead of just like picking your, you know, scratching your head and thinking, no, like, what should I do tomorrow? It's like the more experiences you get, the more experience you get in general. And like, I think we can pretty much wrap with this. In my opinion, becoming, you know, whatever better, more successful hunter means to you, to get there, the best way to do it is just get experience. So at the end of the day, more experience is better. Like, if you go to a new state and you fail, the next time you're going to be better because you've got all those experiences under your belt. And I think that, like, at the end of the day, you always win if you have them, you know, you're always successful if you have the mindset that no matter what happens, I'm taking something away from this and I'm learning something new. And if you have that mentality, you're going to be a successful hunter. All right. feel pretty strongly about that. So, anyway.
Check out the Bayside Legion.
Yes.
On YouTube, Instagram, podcast, right?
Yep, we have our YouTube channel is The Bayside Legion. Facebook, we are The Bayside Legion. Instagram, we are The_Bayside_Legion. We're also on TikTok now, and we also have a website where we have some merchandise. We have gun rests, turkey totes, t-shirts, hoodies, hats, and that is TheBaysideLegion.com or BaysideLegion.com.
Sweet. I'll put some links in this podcast, too.
I got a TikTok, too, Ted.
Yeah, we just started with the TikTok thing, so we're still trying to figure that out, and we're trying to figure it out.
Ted just said, I'm running a TikTok, too. That's good, buddy. That's
you
really
are.
Good.
You're a TikTok guy, so.
TikTok's a heck of a platform.
It is a heck of a platform.
All right, everybody. Well, hopefully you took something away from this if you're an aspiring travel turkey hunter. And with that, catch you on the next episode. Thanks for listening.
Good luck.
Good luck.